Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
So last week, Damian Lillard said he was a better rapper than Shaq. And in response, Shaq put out a diss track where he said that Lillard will never be Westbrook or Steph, and he isn't even on Trevor Ariza's level. And last night, Lillard responded with his own diss track, telling Shaq that he won his rings thanks to Kobe and Dwayne Wade. So this is getting complicated. Shannon, whose side are you on here?
Skip, I'm rolling with Shaq. And let me tell you why. I don't think Shaq issued this diss track because Dame Lillard said he was a better rapper. Mm-hmm. If Dame Willard, he was on Joe Budden's podcast.
Yeah.
They asked him this question. If he'd said, oh, yeah, I got better bars, I'm a better rapper than Shaq, and left it at that, I don't believe Shaq responds. It was when he said, I'm a better rapper than Shaq, and people didn't look at Shaq. They was like, Shaq's rapping. Mm-hmm. That's what got Shaq to respond. Mm-hmm. If he just leaves it, I'm a better rapper than Shaq. Everybody knows that. I don't think Shaq responds. Mm-hmm. Skip, if there's Steph Curry's, I'm the greatest jump shooter of all times, people just look at KD as a tall guy that can shoot. What the hell you think KD gonna do, Skip? He got to respond. Mm-hmm. He got no choice.
Yep.
You can have confidence in yourself. You can hype yourself. Mm-hmm. But don't take a swipe at me and don't think I'm going to come back.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Shaq came back with some classic lines. When he told him, he said, look, he asked him, what's in your wallet? American Express or Visa? You talk like
it
you
rhymes bron- with.
Yeah. He said, you talk like you bronze. You ain't any Trevor Ariza.
Like it. Boom.
He said, good. Hey, he said, you can respond. Take your time. Don't mm-hmm. be in a hurry.
Yeah.
You'll never be Westbrook. Mm. You'll never be Steph Curry.
Ooh. Ooh. Well said.
Skip. Shaq, I mean, look, and I've been looking at my timeline. And it's been good. And some people think Shaq won. Some people think Dame won. But Dame, I mean, you can't. I mean, you're talking about Kobe won Shaq, those rings.
Wrong.
Skip, does Dame know that over those three finals, Shaq averaged 36 and 15? Mm. Does he know that? Mm. Now, I mean, you can make the case about when you're like, okay, Flash won you that ring in Miami, but that was Shaq in year 14.
Yep.
Shaq, man, look. And I understand. I've been a Dame Lillard fan, and I'm still a Dame Lillard fan. And I think I realized how special he was. And I think NBA players realized how special he was, Skip. But and people, and I don't know how many people remember this, but Dame was Rookie of the Year the year Anthony Davis was the number one overall pick. Mm. And I think what happened was is that Portland early on didn't have a whole lot of success, and so he kind of got lost. Steph Curry was doing his thing, winning MVPs, winning titles. Russell Westbrook was doing his thing, triple doubles. Then James Harden burst mm-hmm. onto the scene. Yeah. And so now Dame kind of got lost. Chris Paul was also in the West. So he kind of got lost in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. But now all of a sudden they start winning, they're going to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He started hitting game-winning shots. He's first team All-NBA. People start to recognize like, man, dude really can play. Mm-hmm. Skip, he really can rap. He really got skills. Mm-hmm. But in the process, you can hype yourself. You can say, yeah, I'm mad on this mic. Mm-hmm. But if you take a swipe at somebody else, oh, they're going to diss you.
Yep.
But I got no problem going back and forth. You got no problem. I like a good diss track. Mm-hmm. I mean, diss track goes way back, Skip. You know, Nas and Jay-Z, Ice Cube with No Vaseline, mm-hmm. Remy Ma, Ether the... Nicki Minaj, huh. Oh, I love a good diss track. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're good for the soul. Mm. It cleanses the soul.
Yep. You try to drop them on this show, you always fail.
Oh, I keep a diss track for you, Skip. Yeah. I keep that thing loaded for you.
Working on something?
Just in case.
Ooh.
You finished?
I finished.
Okay. I'm going to pick up where you finished. Because I do agree, even though this is highly subjective, its beauty is in the eye of the beholder, or in this case, the ear of the beholder.
Yes, the listener.
But to me, my two cents from a distance is that Damian Lillard has proven, once and for all, he is the best athlete rapper I have ever heard. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't feel like when he raps that it's an athlete whose occasional hobby is rapping.
Right.
It sounds like he could do it for a living.
Right.
He is that polished and that good. Mm-hmm. As you say, he's got those kind of professional skills.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And if he wants to do this post-career, I think he could make a living at that, and
yeah.
a good one. And I think he's developed quite a following as a rapper.
Right.
But the problem is, for him, the danger is, he's becoming a better diss track rapper than a basketball player.
You don't want that.
You don't want that.
No.
And I'm pretty sure the closest Damian Lillard will ever get to a ring is rapping about why Shaq has four rings. Seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the cold, hard fact about this. He's got to be careful because he's not playing from a position of power, of strength.
Right.
You know, he has earned nothing
right.
to speak of mm-hmm. in the NBA.
Yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal, and we agree on this one, he was simply the most awesome offensive force in the history of basketball for 3 years.
Yeah.
It wasn't pretty to watch. It was actually brutal kind of basketball,
yeah.
but he was overpowering.
Yes.
He was literally unstoppable.
Right.
And he did that, and he does have four rings. And Damian is, look, I don't want this to be personal because he's really a good guy.
Yeah,
I've been
yeah.
around
I
him
like,
enough.
I, like him
I know
lot,
enough
yeah.
people to know who know him. He is a fine young man,
mm-hmm.
and he does represent the city of Portland well and the NBA well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, when push comes to shove, it always comes clear to me that he and CJ are built more for the regular season. They're highly entertaining in the regular season mm-hmm. as opposed to big post-season games
okay.
or series.
Right.
Because Dame did hit the big walk-off shot,
mm-hmm.
and he waved by
right.
to Russ,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And that was the peak for him.
Yeah.
That was game five. That was a thing of beauty.
And he hit a big one against the Rockets a couple of years ago.
He did. So he's had some moments.
Yeah, he's had moments.
But then when they got to Denver, game seven, it was CJ who took them home in game seven.
Right.
And Damian in game seven at Denver went 3-for-17 and 2-for-9 from three. And then when the two of them ran into Golden State with no KD, they got
yeah.
blown off the court and swept. And their numbers are just horrendous in that series, both of them. And I hate to even bring this up, but in the fourth quarter and overtime of those four games, Dame went 8 of 26, 5 of 17 from 3, and CJ was 4 of 20 and 1 for 10 from 3. So they just came up smaller and smaller.
And the thing was, Skip, is that they had double-digit leads
yeah.
in all of those
they
games.
Did.
And they had one night Seth Curry goes bonkers.
Yeah.
He contributes. Myers goes bonkers. He
yeah.
contributes. So they were getting contributions
yeah.
from guys that you love. What if CJ and Dame do what they do, and they can get a contribution from this guy, get a contribution from that guy?
Yep.
They got the contributions, but they didn't do their part.
Yep. So in the end, right now, Damian is known more for being Dame Dalla, right, than he is for being a playoff superstar.
Right.
And boy, you're treading into some deep water with Shaquille O'Neal.
Right.
Because he will not stop.
No.
He will not give this up. And there's a playful side, but there's also a nuclear side to
right.
him where he will ether you.
Right.
And you're not going to be able to win this. So I would suggest to Dame right now, just let it lay. Just back off. Because when he tries to say that Kobe won you those rings, that's not ether. That's just Dame going lame. You know, that's
yeah.
just reaching, right? That's not right.
Because the thing is about Shaq, if anybody that knows Shaq that's been around him, Skip, he's the most fun-loving.
He is.
Guy, I mean, take pictures, shake
yep.
hands, kiss back. That's him. But if he feels you disrespected, you watch that show on TNT, and anytime he feels Charles disrespects him, and he has the utmost respect for Charles.
He does.
Charles, show me your rings. How many rings you got, Charles? I mean, everybody's up here sitting at his desk. Kenny got two. I got four.
And you know what? Charles has no comeback.
He got no comeback.
He can't.
He said, damn, I'm trying to be a billionaire and a scholar. I give an F about a dollar. Man, Shaq won this one. And the winner is Shaquille O'Neal.
And the winner will be Shaquille O'Neal. It's game over.
I'm going, yep. hey. I mean, I think the younger generation probably gonna side with Dame.
Yep.
But I'm giving this round to Shaq.
Yep.
You and Shaq have that in common. You know, how many rings? You can always do the ring.
Hey.
You know?
Oh,
once in a while.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Why do you never wear them around here?
They know. See, a lot of times, when you guys have one ring, they'll wear them all the time.
Yeah. Oh.
But when you got more than one, they know.
When you got a couple?
All I need is a chain, and I'm good.
Yeah.
Another Drip Bayless moment for the show. No mercy.
Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save enough money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting. That's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future. Or visit www.pacificlife.com. No mercy.
For 4 weeks, NFL.com released their top 15 offensive players. Reigning MVP Patrick Mahomes came in at the top spot. I know Shannon's looking. That one, Ezekiel Elliott came in at fifth after being third last week. And Tom Brady was number seven. Well, Dak Prescott barely cracked the list, coming in at 14 overall.
Barely cracked. That's interesting.
The list barely cracked the list. Things are changing. Shannon, what do these rankings tell you?
Tell me everything I need to know, Skip, baby. You know what I'm saying, Skip. Yeah. Now, for me, my grandma pulled me out of pre-K. So once we got to five, I can't go past five. I just let that top five say, okay, I'm good. I can't see 6, 7, 8, 15. I don't know who are there.
You went to pre-K?
Yeah, pre-K.
Really?
Yeah. And my grandma pulled me out so I can count to five.
Really?
I look at my homeboy, Russell Wilson, C-Mac. I told you C-Mac was going to be special, Skip Baylor. Alvin Kamara, and Lord have mercy, Zeke Elliott.
Ooh.
Zeke Elliott, number five. So you mean to tell me through the first four games of the season, Dak Prescott got a 1,000 QBR, threw for a zillion yards, and he ain't in the top five? So what did that tell you, Skip Bayless? It's telling me everything I need to know. They not putting all that hype into them numbers that he put up against sub-team Washington and Terrell. Do you want to start for the Washington? Because they're looking for a quarterback. I'm looking for, waiting for a call anytime. That's why I got my phone on, Jen. I'm expecting a call from somebody from Washington. Bruce Allen might call me to play quarterback. Eli. I would rather see. I'm fearful of Eli. Really, Skip Bayless? When the last time you heard somebody in New York mention Eli? They got a rookie in there, Daniel Jones.
Okay.
Miami.
Tell me when you're finished.
I'm not finished yet. So they're telling you everything you need to know. They still telling you, Skip Bayless, everything runs through Zeke. It runs through. You gave me the highlight. You gave me the stat. When he played the Green Bay Packers, Zeke's averaging 133. Zach's QBR is off the charts. He got shut down. Look at the games that he gets shut down. Look at Dak's QBR. Not very good.
No, it was really good at New Orleans. It was 77.
Stop it.
Wow, that's fourth best in the whole
league.
Over the weekend.
The numbers says, this is what the numbers say.
Yeah, I just told you what the numbers
say. I'm telling you what I said, and I got some more numbers. The numbers say that when Zeke Elliott is held below 75 yards, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, one Dak, Rain Dakota Prescott. Dak is what they call him.
R-A-Y-N-E.
Yeah, Rain. Dak.
He's going to rain on your player.
Whatever, is 1-8.
Yep.
That's what the numbers say, Skip Bayless. Now, all that other stuff, I don't want to get in all of that.
Right.
That's hyperbole. But they got it right. My homeboy is where he should be, and the top five I totally agree with.
I'll give you Patrick Mahomes number one. Now let's go to my quarterback, Rain Dakota Prescott.
Where is he at?
This list, by the way, is the product of one man and one man only, and his name is David Carr, once upon a time the first overall pick, now working for NFL Network. So this is strictly David Carr's opinion. And I wasn't aware of this list, and it just started this year. And last night was the first time I was made aware of it. We have not done this list before on this show.
That's the first time we
might have
done that.
So it's from only David Carr. David Carr know football? Some players do. Some players...
Are you trying to say you don't know football?
I don't know.
But here's
here's what he is saying as a former quarterback. He ranks in the top 14 five quarterbacks. He goes Mahomes, then Russell Wilson is second. Then we have to go all the way down to seventh. Brady's fallen from fifth to seventh. And then we have to go all the way down to 12th with Aaron Rodgers. And then we go to 14th, Dak Prescott. So let me get this straight. Dak Prescott is ranked by David Carr as a top five quarterback in the National Football League because he's in the top five on this list. Am I right?
After 5 weeks, yes.
That's what I learned to count, barely to five, but I didn't get to go to pre-K. My parents couldn't afford it. Yeah, I don't know. They didn't have any money. I don't know about yours.
It was free.
Okay. Was it free? Yeah. I don't know. It wasn't called free K. It was called pre-K. I didn't go. I barely made it to kindergarten. So that's just silly me. I had to walk to school.
But you were 10 years old in kindergarten, so who cares about that?
That's exactly right. So I love this list because my quarterback is ranked in the top five quarterbacks because he's above, guess who's not on this list, who didn't make it? Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson. These didn't make the list. Mm-hmm. Phillip Rivers, Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan, Jameis Winston, Jimmy G, who seems to be on fire in San Francisco. None of those guys are ranked above my quarterback, who's 14th. So, wait a second. My quarterback didn't make a single top 100 player list in the preseason.
Right
before the season
started.
Correct.
That is correct.
Yet he's ranked all the way up at 14th on this list, and he's the fifth quarterback by David Carr. Thank you, David Carr.
Hold on.
You are making my case. Yeah. I told you he's a top five quarterback, and thank you for wanting to do this.
Yes, I wanted to do this. I wanted to do this because it goes, you see, he thought I walked into a trap, but actually, he walked.
Somebody's trying to backpedal.
No, Skip Bayless.
Right now.
Skip Bayless.
Yep.
If by your theory, your guy should be the top five, and Zeke Elliott, Zeke is telling you who runs the Cowboys. Mm. What runs the Cowboys?
You know what? I'll give you this because you know how I feel about these lists. The quarterback should be at the top of the list.
But
every
yours
time.
Not. Because
here's what you're telling me. You know, if you're going to rank Dak the fifth quarterback, then he should be the fifth player on the list. Because let me ask you this. How many general managers right now, Christian McCaffrey is third on this list, how many would take them over Tom Brady right now?
But
none! And Tom has fallen this week from fifth to seventh.
But see, now you want to make it about MVP. You look at what Christian McCaffrey is doing, minus Cam Newton.
Well, it's 30... value. It's impact. Who has the most impact?
Exactly.
Tom Brady.
No.
By far.
No, the defense.
Christian McCaffrey's going to carry the Panthers to where?
Because, no. They watched the game Sunday.
Huh.
What impact did Tom Brady have?
Huh. Well, they won.
Chris, Carolina
won. I told
won.
You, it's Tom Brady's toughest defensive test of the whole regular season was at Buffalo.
So, in other words, what they're trying to tell you, Skip Bayless, is they're not putting the value into the Dolphins. Mm. They're not putting value into the Jets.
It's not he.
No,
this is David Carr.
He. Good. Well, okay. Pro Football Focus is he, they, whomever.
Mm.
So, in other words, now, Zeke Elliott is the engine.
Thank you. Back to Zeke. This is my one big problem with this list is there is no way Zeke is the fifth most impactful player in the league.
Yes way.
You know what? He's ranked seventh in rushing right now, and a bunch of those yards came against those bad teams that you kept throwing back across the table at me. And a bunch of those yards came in garbage time of blowouts of the Washington
Redskins. Like your quarterback.
Or the Miami Dolphins.
Yes.
Okay?
So I'm
using your argument against you because he shouldn't even be seventh in rushing. And let me finish. Pro Football Focus, and I love Pro Football Focus.
No, you don't.
Right now, they rank Zeke's year so far through four games that he is the 20th best running back in pro football. Really? 20th best? That's horrible. So he has made this list, David Carr, once again. It's the runaway bandwagon going the wrong way down a one-way street because Zeke made this list as the fifth best, most impactful player on the list on reputation, period, end of story.
Ain't no rep.
They kept handing it to him on Sunday night, and I kept tweeting, stop it! I don't want to see a none-yard run on first down.
Hey.
It's first down, nowhere. First down, nowhere. Dak keeps saying, it's second and 10 again?
Yeah.
I'm behind the chains again?
He's like, Kellen, you know I can't get a first down when it's second and 10.
Mm.
I can't use my arm and get second and 10, pick up second and 10,
third
and 5. Mm. I can't do that. Mm. I need a second and 1.
Boy,
I need a third and 2.
Yeah.
Come on, Kellen.
Yeah.
You making me look bad.
Come on, Zeke. Show me something. Show me a burst. Show me some action, man. Hit the hole.
What David Carr is looking at, he says, okay, Skip Bayless, you keep saying that Zeke is picking up these yards.
Yeah, so this was intended for me,
right? He said, oh, Skip Bayless, so you're saying Zeke is picking up yards in garbage time. But just imagine this.
Mm.
Just imagine if you didn't have Zeke that was getting those yards in garbage time, how your quarterback would look.
Mm.
Because we saw when Zeke couldn't get yards. Okay, and it's not like, hold on, you make it seem like the Saints are the 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens.
Mm.
They're not.
They're really good on defense.
They're not.
Yes, they are. They're
and
a top
they
five.
Handed it to your Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Got 10 points.
Yeah.
How you get 10 points when you got a top five quarterback? So you say. When you got the best running back in football? So you say. The best offensive line in football? So you say. Mm-hmm. One of the best offensive young lines.
Offensive line overrated.
No, that's not what you just, Skip Bayless, you just told me last week they had Dak had only been hit like three times and only been, three times.
They haven't played anybody.
They haven't played anybody. Now, I want you to have that same energy. Now, see, you weren't having that energy when Dak was putting up 400 yards, throwing for three touchdowns. You didn't say they weren't playing anybody.
Let's see how Aaron Rodgers performs when Aaron Jones doesn't get 125 yards rushing this time at Jerry World.
No,
let's see.
You don't have Devontae Adams.
Okay. Well, he's the most transcendent thrower of the football in the history of football, so he should be able to throw it to Valdez-Scantling, right?
Well, you didn't say that when Dak?
Huh.
When Dak didn't have Amari Cooper, you said he took off. You said he launched. Mm-hmm. It launched him into, you know, last 10 games, over the last 10 games, Jenny, I don't know if you noticed it, Jenny, last 10 games and this year, he took off.
He did. Last 10 games, he led the whole NFL in completions.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So we'll see, you know, because you're right about Aaron Rodgers. Once Devontae left the game that Thursday night against Philly, he had two red zone trips.
Yeah.
And what happened without Devontae?
Devontae just happened to be the best red zone receiver. He and that connection just happened to be the best red zone connection in the NFL.
So maybe Devontae made Aaron more than Aaron made Devontae. Well, that's what you just said to me.
That's not
what should it matter? Tom Brady, it's like the biggest mishmash of receivers. It's a mash unit of receivers because every week is another group.
Well, then why they sign Antonio Brown if he could do it without him?
Well, again.
Why would you want that?
I loved it. He finally had a legit receiver for the first time when he did have a great receiver, what happened? They lost the Super Bowl. Fell into the Moss trap. He's better when he's just saying, give me those three guys.
Okay, so good. I don't want to hear nothing.
Yeah, because he's better than Aaron Rodgers, clearly. Aaron Rodgers went to one Super Bowl like 15 years ago.
15? Right?
That's not what we're debating. We're talking about your guy. Being the second most important guy on his own team. That's what this list tells me. Now, I don't know what it tells you.
He's a top 15 player in the National Football League.
Okay, right
now. He's top five quarterback. Do you agree with that? You love this list, so you're agreeing Dak is the fifth best quarterback in the league. Are you agreeing with that?
Hold on, Skip. Hold on.
No, there's no hold on. You got to answer my question.
Yes.
Because you love this list.
Yes.
So, yes.
Yes.
Shannon Sharp says Dak Prescott is a top five quarterback.
Drew Brees is out.
Okay.
Ben Roethlisberger is out.
Okay.
True.
All right. Well, but right now, as it stands, he's a top five quarterback.
Through the first 4 weeks.
Says Shannon Sharp.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Case closed. Next question.
But
case
it says,
closed.
But this list, I'm going by this list. That's all I could go by. Skip the list.
Mm.
Yeah.
Zeke Elliott is the most important.
I love lists around here.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, yeah, but think about this. Look at the more important players on this list. You got Christian McCaffrey. You got Travis Kelce at 8. Is he the 8th most valuable player?
Yeah,
in the
impactful.
So he's better than Aaron Rodgers.
There you go, Skip. See, you try. Now we're talking about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron, we're talking about your guy. We're talking about Zeke Elliott being more impactful than your guy.
Okay, so 13 is George Kittle. So you think? You think George Kittle's better than Dak Prescott?
Kittles,
who would you rather have if you're starting a team, Dak Prescott or George
Kittles?
Kittle?
I want Kittles.
Yeah. Well, you can
nice
have him.
Nice that you said it that way. Guys, you know who's
Sounds
not
like
on this
cat
list?
Cat food.
Yeah, I don't know how you were saying
George
that.
Kittles play a very important position, I have you know.
Hey, football fans, are you an Amazon Prime member? Did you know that you have Thursday Night Football? Yeah, that's right. Thursday Night Football has returned to Prime Video for a third season. The cool thing is, you can catch all the action on your TV, on the web, or on your mobile device anywhere in the world. And the experience is next level. With Prime Video's X-ray feature, you can access next-gen stats, play history, and team information. And now it's available on iOS, Android, Fire tablets, and Fire TV. If you're ready to hear a new take on the game, you can switch over to sport broadcast legends Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer for the play-by-play. So, if you don't have cable or simply want to experience the future of football, tune in this Thursday. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern and kickoff is at 8:20 p.m. Eastern. Also available on Fox and NFL Network. NFL Network simulcast subject to change. Thursday Night Football is presented by Bud Light Platinum. No mercy.
Ravens are fighting the accusation that Marlon Humphrey choked Odell Beckham Jr. during a mid-game scuffle. The team website released a slow-motion video that shows Humphrey grabbing OBJ's jersey but not grabbing the receiver's throat. The post said that Humphrey was only defending himself from Odell. So, Shannon, does this video make you feel differently about what you first saw?
Nah, I mean, Odell should feel worse, Skip. Now, what caused the whole ruckus, Odell was upset because up until this point, Odell had zero catches. Zero. So Marlon had him in solitary. And he was getting upset. And you watched the close-up of this thing, and we blew it up, and I looked at it. Marlon Humphrey was locked in on Odell all day. He was oblivious to anything else that was going around. It didn't matter. He wasn't looking at no head. He was locked in on Odell's ways, and he was attached.
It was on him.
Okay. Odell gets upset.
The first skirmish was on a run play.
Yes,
right?
Okay. Yes. Odell hits him in the face.
Yep.
Marlon says, okay.
Yeah.
This is the way you want to do it, right? I thought we just played man to man, win some, lose some, yada, yada. Okay, that's how we're going to do it. So he came back and Odell, you know, tried to manhandle him. Marlon got grabbed him up by his collar. Mm-hmm. This was actually worse, Skip, because a grown man grabbed another grown man up in his chest area. Now, my grandma and my grandpa used to grab me, boy, bring your ass out this store. You know, when I wanted something in the store.
When you were?
Yes. They grabbed me by my collar. Well, get your ass out this store. Okay. But another grown man grab a grown man like that and then put him to the ground? Mm. And then you can't get up? You talking about get me up, get him off me? What they should have done, what the Ravens social media should have done, is put Debo head on Marlon. Mm. But see, what they're trying to do, Skip, they don't want Marlon to be portrayed like Marlon's out there trying to, you know, he's not this type of guy.
Sure.
Because you know how the Ravens defense has always been known as physical.
Yep.
Tough. They back down from no one. Mm-hmm. That's the way they play.
Yep.
It came with Ray and Sizzle and Ed Reed, and it's continued. So they put this out there, but they also said to you, Skip, they said, like, oh, Odell threw a punch first, but Marlon did not choke him. It might be worse. Marlon, you ain't got to say, hey, you make no apologies for what you done. You did a great job. You got him frustrated. He took a swipe at you. He wanted to make it physical, didn't want to make it about football. Mm. So we took it there. I win. End of discussion. They won the game.
Yep.
But he wanted to get physical. I took him to the ground. End of story.
Hmm. Well, my story is just beginning because the first thing I want to do is offer a public apology to Marlon Humphrey because we both leaped to the conclusion on Monday that he just flat out got him down and choked him.
Yeah.
And you agreed with me. I said, I have never seen that on an NFL field in my long career.
Right.
And you said, nope, I've never seen one player choke another player. And we still haven't seen one player choke another player because it wasn't exactly choking. Mm. So Marlon grabbed him with two fistfuls. He got two fistfuls of jersey up at the neckline. And he held on.
Right.
And he's bigger than Odell. And he looks more physical and stronger than
Odell.
He's
definitely more physical.
And so when he took him down, he was the guy on top.
Right.
And so the distant video in full speed,
it
just looks like he's just choking him.
Right. Yeah.
Choking the life out of him.
Yes.
And we're like, what?
Yeah.
And obviously, he got a penalty, but he did not get ejected because the referee on the spot is seeing his hands are not around Odell's throat.
Right. Mm.
They're just two fistfuls of jersey where his fists are at Odell's throat, but there's no clutching and grabbing of the throat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so I learned a big lesson here. If you go up close, slow-mo, boy, you can see a whole lot more.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so next time, I'm going to be a little more hesitant to leap to the conclusion until I see something more up close. And I'm not sure where they got this video, if it was a sideline reporter
but
or
I'm looking at number, look at 97, looking at it, be like, oh, that ain't got nothing to do with me.
Okay.
You should get him up off you.
But yesterday, Freddie Kitchens would not give this up.
No.
He's still insisting that Marlon choked Odell.
Well, it's embarrassing to you guys, Skip.
Okay, well, I get that. But again, it wasn't an out-and-out choke. It's still embarrassing to your point.
Yeah.
And I agree with your big picture point. But it's one thing to just have fistfuls of jersey and be on top of him and hold him down.
Right.
It's another thing to choke the life out of him.
Well, I guess in taekwondo and in judo, they have these garbs on. Yeah. And you grab a guy like that and you control him, you throw him down. Uh-huh. You know, you can actually choke a guy with his garment. Okay.
Huh.
He got it. I mean, he's semi.
This is not.
He had his knuckles right as close to his throat. You know, he had him down, you know. Yeah. Had him pinned. You know, he had him pinned in. I mean, he couldn't get up.
Okay, but he didn't have a vice grip on his throat.
Well, he couldn't get up. Well, how about this? He couldn't get up.
Okay, well, he couldn't get up.
Why? Well, he should have got up. Get up.
Okay.
That man on you, you just gonna lay there?
Well,
you ain't kicking.
Makes a little more sense that he wasn't kicking and flailing.
I mean, you should have done, Jenny. So the man, a man gets you on the ground, you were just gonna lay there. Okay. You go. Is anybody gonna help me?
Fight back.
Is anybody gonna get him up off me?
The Ravens website said that Odell, which I couldn't really get, attempted some big swipe kick.
Really?
You know, like I didn't see a kick.
I didn't either.
But this does not help Odell's reputation for being soft.
No.
Right? Come on.
No.
Yeah. Lost that in your earring, guys. You know, he's
not happy. Yeah, that's all he had to say the game.
Marlon got it.
I'm just upset I lost my earring.
I bet Marlon show up to the game in Pittsburgh with Pittsburgh. He got an earring on.
Nice little.
He earned it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, the man got a pin down. I mean, still, that's still a mean.
Yeah.
Whether he choked him or not, that's guarantee you.
But again, you played with his father.
Yes, I did.
In Denver,
the year
he made the Pro Bowl.
Yes.
He was a rookie.
No, he came in a supplemental draft the year before I got there.
Okay, year before.
Yep.
But you were a little surprised because the father's, he's a classy guy.
Yeah.
And I think the son is a classy kid.
Hunt was really low key.
Yeah.
Like I said, I lived with him for a couple of weeks, and Melvin Bratton, and when we would go out,
Skip,
we come in, you know, we start barbecuing before the next practice the next day. But he was really low key. Hump didn't. I mean, he didn't say he laughed, joke, but he wasn't no fighter, no confrontational type of guy.
I don't think the kid is
either.
And then the kid said he sought out Odell
right.
and apologized to him, and I thought he was apologizing for choking him. Mm-hmm. He was just apologizing for fighting with
so
him.
So that lets you know what type of kid that he is.
Because
most people ain't apologizing.
Yeah.
You hit me in my face. Now, if you want to apologize, say, bro, if you want to come to me and say, bro, I'm sorry, but, you know, the thing escalated, it got out of hand, okay. But I'm not finna apologize. You hit me in my face, mm-hmm. I put you to the ground. Okay, nah.
Mm-mm.
Now, how are we gonna do this? I mean, is it done? If it's done, it's done. Okay, I'm cool with that. Or how are we gonna do it now?
Well, they're gonna see each other quite a bit.
No, but I'm saying.
16 is the next time we'll see them.
How are we gonna do it, Skip? Are we gonna play snap the whistle? Or are we gonna play snap the after the whistle?
Okay, you got
or
it.
We see each other? How are we gonna do this now? I mean, I wanna leave it like this.
Just to remind people, Marlon's not chopped liver because he was the 16th overall pick in the draft.
Yeah.
So he's a first round pick out of Alabama.
Look at his arms. Yeah. I mean, you look at that screen right there. He yoked now. He was a heck of an athlete.
I think Humphrey will appreciate what you said. Mm. That, you know, not to jump to conclusions with these videos.
Man, you should say, don't put that video out. I want everybody to know I'm Debo.
I just want to see if he
keep receiving from running.
With that
I bet ain't nobody else gonna run up on him.
I got to tell you, I know Freddie's got to defend Odell to a fault, but at some point he's got to give this up.
Yeah,
he choked him. Did you see the video? Yeah, we all saw the new video.
Yeah, we saw it, and it wasn't.
He defended. He like Odell. I'm gonna go to the bathroom. But next time, you better get that dude up off you, man. I mean, that making you look bad. He's making us look bad.
Finished with 2 catches for 20 yards on the but day.
That's what caused the frustration.
Yeah.
We late in the third quarter, Skip. I got 0 catches for 0 yards. No mercy.
We're going to switch gears to the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes led the Chiefs on a game-winning drive with under 2.5 minutes left on the clock in Detroit last week. Cameras caught Mahomes rallying his teammates before the drive, and you're gonna listen to this one yourself.
We do not have to do anything else other than being ourselves. I truly believe that. If we just be ourselves and trust in each other, we will go down there, we can put points up, we can do what we do. Don't try to go out here and do everything for yourself. Believe in your teammate. You know what I mean? Believe in each other. And we'll get these opportunities. We'll go down. We'll find a way to win the game. Let's do it right here, man. Let's go.
Shannon, how impressed were you by Mahomes?
That's my homeboy. My homeboy, you hear that, Skip Bayless? That leadership. Third-year guy. Say, we don't have to do anything. We just got to be ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be special. We ain't got to go outside of who we are. Don't try to do it all by yourself. Just believe in your teammate.
I liked it.
Yeah, I love that. I really like it. Great leadership by a young man. But Skip, you know what? I just find it funny when I hear quarterbacks talking to the guys on the sideline like that. Because in all my years with John, he never did it.
Really?
We were down. Nope. When we got in the huddle, Skip, he always say this, boy. Let's go win it, boys. Dap everybody up. We go do it.
Huh.
So it's always amazing to me to hear guys do that on the sideline. I was like, yeah, I'll be one hit. Like, yeah, John, they talk. I'll get me fired up. I'll get fired later. Skip, I'm getting ready. I got pumped up here to do it out. Woo! Mm. Make me want to go out there and run a down flat or something, catch a pass and turn it up. Mm. You saw that, Skip Bayless? It just goes to show you. Now, E-Man just talked about it. Eric Mangini was just on the segment before, and he was talking about what Detroit did, took a page out of Coach Belichick, and the second, what he did.
Well, is that Matt Patricia, obviously.
Matt Patricia, yeah, right. Not give up the big play.
Yep.
Now, he didn't connect on a big play, had some opportunity, but he didn't connect on a big play the entire game. And sometimes you get antsy. We need that big play. We need a big play to crack the game open. He says, nah, it's not there today. The final drive, 13 plays, 79 yards, 7 first downs. Mm-hmm. Take what you give me. Mm. And sometimes, you know what, Skip? Hey, they put gunner coverage where they line up 2 guys on Travis Kelce and say, you will not get Travis Kelce. He says, okay, Sammy Watkins, I need you. Mm-hmm. Robinson, I need you. Other guys, I need you.
Legs, I need you.
Yeah!
Yep.
Feet, don't fail me now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
That's all you got to say.
Skip, that was special. You, Skip, he growing right before your eyes. Mm. He growing on you. Mm. He growing on you, Skip Bayless, isn't he? He like bacteria grow on you. Mm. Yeah, I know you like him.
He's
after a while.
He's your homeboy.
Yeah, after a while, guess what? Sooner or later, Brady ain't going to be here. You got to find you another quarterback.
You had to adopt him.
That's okay. That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So I will admit I was mildly impressed by his sideline speech because I don't think leadership comes naturally and easily to Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't strike me as that kind of young man. And at Texas Tech, he didn't exactly light the world on fire by lifting that team to big, momentous, shocking wins over superior opponents. He wasn't that kind of quarterback, but he did put up great numbers. He lost a big shootout to Baker Mayfield when they both just set records.
Dude threw for 700.
No, well, they both did. It was unbelievable. Who won that game? Oh.
Who had the superior talent? Uh-huh. And Baker was at Texas Tech and he was at Oklahoma.
That guy.
You ought to stop.
Patrick's trouble is, and I'm not being over harsh here, but he's got kind of a tinny, high-pitched voice, and it's not commanding in nature. There's not much baritone in it, so it doesn't command the room like your voice does. You have a great voice, so you can just, when you don't have an argument, you can just rely on your voice, right? You can just try to blow the room out with your voice.
I know there's something in there.
I know. I got you.
It's kind of true, though.
Kind of true. So here is the irony of what Patrick, if you really dissect what he's saying, when he finally got to his point, he said, don't try to go out here and do everything for yourself. Believe in your teammate, believe in each other.
Yeah.
Who is the ultimate player in the National Football League who does everything by himself for himself? It's this guy. And that's no offense to this guy, because he's ranked number one by David Carr and his Sura. Everybody ranks him. He's the runaway MVP favorite because he has the greenest light in the history of pro football. He can throw it between his legs, behind his back. He can no-look it. He can talk to the referee before he takes off. He can order lunch and dinner and breakfast. He can do it all because Andy Reid just greenlights everything.
He ain't got no choice.
He can throw it 70 yards. He can run it 16 yards,
Skip,
right?
You see his defense. Every week, he's going to be in a shootout.
But it's just funny. It made me laugh when I watched it last night. Don't try to go out here and do everything for yourself. Well, no, he does everything. His teammates got to be thinking, that's who you are. That's what you do. Do everything for yourself because you're that guy.
They write attention.
Oh.
They like first grade when, the teacher used to get up in first grade, you're sitting on the floor, legs crossed, and she's reading the book, and you saw you like everything. You just hanging on every word.
Really?
Yeah. They were hanging on every word.
Really?
I don't remember that feeling. We got this. We're going to win. They were in a trance.
We got this. We're going to win. That's a good message. But to say, just be yourself. Yeah. Don't do too much because the true underlying message of this was, don't get in my way. I got
that. That ain't what he said. That ain't what he said.
Don't get in my way.
Right. He said, you don't have to do too much.
No, I'll do it.
I got this.
I got it. That's what he's saying. I got this.
Because sometimes.
Because I can do anything.
Sometimes, Skip, you try to fight, you try to get extra yards, and guess what happens? You get loose with the ball get knocked out, ball game's over.
Okay.
He said, no, we don't need all that.
Yeah.
Get what you can get down or get out of bounds. We good. I got this. I'm in full control.
He's in full control.
Full control.
He's going to do what he does best, which is everything.
Execute.
Right?
That's what he does really well.
Really?
Execute.
Mm.
10 touchdowns, zero picks says he does everything really well.
I got extemporaneous is what the way he executes. He just does whatever happens naturally. And the play of the game, the play I give him an A-plus for is 4th and 8. It's a hard conversion. Although Tom Brady converted 3 straight 3rd and 10s at Arrowhead in the
championship.
Wasn't that big a deal? So it's 4th and 8 at Detroit, and the Honolulu Blue Sea parts in the middle of the field. And what happens? He just says, okay, I got this.
Right.
I'll just take off. Right. And he ran for 16 yards, and he's got a little athletic ability.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty good-sized kid.
Yeah.
So he just took off fearlessly right up the middle, and that was basically the ball game.
Well, Skip, you got to sacrifice something. If you're going to take two guys and put them head up on Travis Kelce, and you're only going to rush four, and you're going to play man across the board, if anybody gets out of their lane, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, and it looked like everybody's going deep, you know, like they're just running.
Well, you run everybody out because you know Kelce's getting doubled.
Yeah.
And so now guys got the front four got out of their lanes.
Yep.
That's why it parted like that. So he did the
good
right
for
thing.
For you. He did the right thing. He didn't do too much. He just did everything.
No. Took his time. Yeah. Hey, completion here. Bloop. Completion there.
Okay.
Travis Kelce, get this right there.
Yep.
Next thing you know, touchdown, we won the ball game.
I like it. He just told those guys, stay out of my way.
That's not what he told.
That's how I interpret it.
See, Tom Brady on the sideline, look at Tom. This is what makes him the greatest leader of all time. See?
All he does is go psycho Tom and say, let's go!
He don't need to do all that.
Yeah.
He don't need to do all that.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, somehow it's worked. I don't know.
He's
won 6 times.
Too. Yeah. He's working for him, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
He's won no Super Bowl.
Skip, the man, you know, with his second year starting, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
He lost
Skip.
Brady twice.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
He needs to use that speech in Foxborough.
He won't need it.
Sunday night.
Going to be so far ahead, he won't need it.
Sunday night, yep.
Won't need it.
Yep.
Will not need it.
Okay. How many cases we have on that game?
We'll get like 4 or 5.
Okay. All right. Five. I'm good. I got
5. It's been settled.
I got Tom Brady for 5.
Months.
Thank you.
And you
would have
liked
too.
Playing for Mahomes, wouldn't
no points.
You? You would have liked it.
Huh?
I feel like it would have been a good fit, you and Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
You would have loved playing for him.
Oh, my goodness.
When are you ever going to throw it to me?
What? You would have liked
I'm not like that.
You're throwing it to Tyreek and Sammy and.
No. Oh, Tyreek, they're going to run all the coverage off. Mm. I'm going to get one-on-one coverage.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
I like picturing that. Yeah. If only. If only we can go back.
Yeah, and I know what you'd be saying about your defense.
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole different discussion.
No, I mean, look, because I've been on the other side now. You got to realize I did play in Baltimore.
No.
When things
the flip side.
Yeah, when things weren't so chummy.
That is correct.
Chummy for the offense.
No. No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place. Whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Lonzo Ball is on a new team and also has a new looking shot. The Pelicans released this video of Lonzo taking jumpers yesterday and looking pretty good. Lonzo is a career 38% shooter and has made just 46% from the free throw line. So, Shannon, do you think Lonzo has fixed his shot for good now.
No. Anybody can do it in practice. Skip Duarte says, and this quote originally got attributed to Aristotle, but we looked it up and I researched it about 15 times. He did not say this. Aristotle did not say it.
Say what?
Durant said it, not Kevin Durant. We are what we repeatedly do. Therefore, it is not a singular act. It is a habit.
Now, Durant.
He was a philosopher.
Oh.
I think over time, philosophers have stolen other philosophers' quotes and attributed to themselves. Mm. But Skip.
I like that one.
Wait, say it again.
Yeah, say
you
it again.
Lost me with all
we
the
are what we repeatedly do.
Okay.
Therefore, it's a singular act. It is a habit.
Okay.
Whatever we repeatedly do, mm-hmm. if you repeatedly lie, you are a liar. Mm. If you repeatedly steal, you are a thief.
Mm. If you repeatedly lose, you're a loser.
Oh! Nope, that wasn't
Therefore,
in there.
Therefore, I'm a winner. Therefore, I repeatedly win, so I am a winner. Skip, what happens is that in a situation where there's no stress is involved, you can just bloop, 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 bloop. Hmm. Give prime example, Skip. We saw Tim Tebow go to Tom's house, mm-hmm. and when he was in shorts and just throwing the ball, he looked like Joe Montana. But the moment it became...
And by the way, Tom House is a friend of mine,
yes.
and I actually interviewed him about this. He said, you could line up Tim in my practice sessions mm-hmm. with him with the best quarterbacks in pro football, and they could all throw at the same time, and you wouldn't be able to pick out Tim
right.
Tebow. He would look just like all the rest.
Wow. Right.
Look, okay?
But in a stressful right. situation, yep. the body will always resort back to where it feels most comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And what Lonzo has done more times than not, what it has repeatedly done over the course of time is shooting the shot from across his body.
Mm-hmm.
So when it becomes a stressful situation, this is what he will resort back to.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I do not believe that he fixed that shot. Something he's done for 22, 23 years, all of a sudden he's going to fix it over the course of 2 months?
Mm.
No, I don't believe that, Skip. Yeah, that's a great video. No one's guarding.
Mm.
It doesn't matter if he make or miss, but let someone start to guard him. Let it be a situation where he needs to make that shot, and we'll see what's going to happen.
Okay. You are probably right about what you just said, because the issue, as we all know, for Lonzo Ball has been that he grew up and his dad let him get away with launching the ball from the left side of his face instead of
right.
as a right-hander from the right,
right
side. And it became ingrained, and his dad said it worked. And he did shoot. He made 41% of his threes at UCLA, albeit from a line that's whatever, X feet, 2 feet closer.
Right.
But he was making them at UCLA. That was not an issue when he was drafted second overall
right.
by the Lakers. So what has happened? That shot got worse and worse because it seemed to be launched farther and farther from the left side, mm-hmm. and he lost all confidence in the shot. And where I said the shot worked worst was at the free throw line, because if you're a point guard in this league, and last year he made 42% of his free throws, that's like Dwight Howard or Shaq.
Yeah,
or,
that's terrible.
You know, that's horrendous.
I don't even know if Shaq shot 42% from the free throw line.
They're like 50% free
throw. That might be Ben Wallace or Chris Dudley.
Maybe.
Somebody.
So, again, he had the demons in his subconscious, and it went from bad to worse last year, and so that has to get fixed. So I'll say this. The Lakers, we got some tape. I'm not sure they put it out, but there was some tape of him last year in a Laker practice where he was shooting more from the right side.
Right.
And I will give him this much credit. In games for the Lakers last year, when it was clutch time, he made a bunch of clutch threes.
But how did he make them? Doing what? Shooting his conventional shot.
Not a conventional shot. I mean, his unconventional
right,
shot.
Right, right. He's shooting yes. his conventional
that
shot.
Is. So I must tell you, when I watched this, albeit against air, albeit with no pressure, except some videographer standing next to him, or I don't know who was taking shooting the video,
yeah.
but
mm-hmm.
that looked right to me. That looked correct. That looked new, because even the practice tape that we saw from the Lakers last year did not exactly, it looked like he was shooting it from his nose huh. instead of over from his ear side,
huh.
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this time, that looked clean to me. That looked real.
Skip, if it was easy, you don't think Markelle Fultz tried to try his shot?
Yeah, he had a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give him the break on
right.
that. I'm going to give him the pass.
What about Michael Kidd-Gilchrist?
Okay.
He ain't trying to change that?
But he never had a shot, really. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Yeah, but I'm saying, Skip, okay. when you've done something for that period of time,
yep.
and you think about it now, It's like, okay, if I had that shot and as far as I could go as high school, that's one thing. But to go to a major university and become a top draft pick in the NBA, so what's wrong? You looking at somebody like, okay, change what for what? Mm. I'm here. I got here.
Again, it worked in college. Yes. Right?
Yeah. And it got me drafted number 2 overall. Markelle Fultz was number 1 overall.
He was. Well, you ask what's wrong? Father was wrong. Because Lonzo talked yesterday on somebody's podcast. I can't remember which one. I think it was...
Wojo.
It was on Wojo.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. He talked
about... Woj.
Yeah. He talked about how hard his father made it on him as a rookie. Well, you and I talked about it every day.
Oh. So we didn't make that up?
Yeah. We didn't make that up.
Hold on. He said that. So we didn't make that up.
No.
When we said... That he's making it very hard on his son. Mm. Lonzo actually said that. Mm. Oh.
And LeVar came on this show numerous times and said, that's a bunch of baloney, right? Mm. And all he did was paint a bigger and bigger target every time he opened his mouth because remember what happened on opening night? Patrick Beverley just destroyed Lonzo and pointed into the stands to LeVar.
Right.
This is for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. If I say my foot hurt, you don't get to tell me from over there that my foot is not hurting. Mm. And that was the problem that LeVar doesn't seem to get.
Okay.
Lonzo said, I'm affected by this man stealing my money. Mm-hmm. Why you hurt? Bro, I'm telling you, you don't get to say from not sitting in this seat how I should feel.
Yep.
But also I did hear this, what he said, I'm calling all the shots from now on.
I did hear him say that.
He did echo something to Melo, call your own shots.
Correct.
I did hear that. Mm-hmm. That's not an accident.
Mm. So would you agree we have seen at least off-season flashes of Lonzo becoming his own man?
I've seen flashes, growth.
Growth.
Of a man becoming a man.
Man becoming a man and at least distancing himself a little from his father, even though in the end he always concludes...
You won't be my father.
But it's blood.
It's
not going to change.
Yeah, that's not going to change.
He's not going to ever fall out of love with his father, right?
Right.
So this has been the greatest thing, and I'm going to stick by this, that ever happened to Lonzo Ball is that he got his tail traded, and they threw him right into the trade without any compunction or reservation. They just said,
But they really wanted him, though, Skip.
Yep.
He was really one of the linchpins of the trade.
David Griffin wanted him.
Yes.
Okay, so now he's playing for a man who wants him in a city that's a little off radar, off the beaten trail.
Right.
It's one of the smallest media markets. And he's gone from Magic Johnson introducing him by saying, we will raise his number 2 jersey into the rafters one day, right?
That's yes. True.
And he's gone out of his father's control here in the Los Angeles area, where obviously they're in Chino Hills suburb. And I think this is the greatest thing that could ever happen. But he is on a hot seat because I think he's under pressure. You're going to be watching closely.
Yes.
Are you new? Do you have a new shot? Do you have a new free throw shot? Okay. Whatever that shot is,
I think the most important thing, he got some new shoes.
Okay. Well, that could
That's going to be the most important thing. He got some shoes that don't hurt
his
feet.
Well, he said his shoes,
they actually blew up on his feet.
Yeah.
Where he was saying he's changing them by the quarter,
right?
Yeah. That doesn't work.
They were so garbage
that
they just fell apart after a quarter of NBA play.
Yeah. I mean, I like walking around in Chuck Taylor's.
Yep.
And Skip, you remember back, Chuck Taylor was a shoe.
I grew up in him.
But ain't nobody trying to play in Chuck Taylor's today.
I don't think that is the same.
Big Baller might be a shoe.
They were the only game in town.
Exactly.
And now they're like a throwback. Like
you wear them and walk around in. I see people lift in them.
Yeah.
A flat sole shoe. Yeah, people lift weights in your squats, do deadlifts in a flat sole shoe. But
they're so heavy.
I'm so excited. No, the original Chuck, the canvas ones.
Yeah.
Not the level with the Dr. J and Larry Bird and Magic.
Like
those were like bricks on your feet.
Yeah.
But I'm happy. I'm looking at the guy. He seemed relieved to be away from L.A., be out from under this, because maybe it was more weight than he needed to bear at this juncture of his career.
Yep.
And maybe he just needed to be away from his father, and he can make some own decisions. I've always felt, look, you can be my mom, you can be my grandma, but at the end of the day, when I start paying my own bills, I'm my own man.
Yep.
And I think Lonzo wised up to that, like, hold on, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you my father.
Yep.
But I'm paying bills. I pay rent. I pay a mortgage. I pay light and gas bill. I ain't got to listen to everything you say. Mm-hmm. I'm going to respect you.
Yep.
But I'm my own man in my own house.
Mm. So C.J. McCollum said yesterday that he believes the youngest Ball son will be the best one. Oh, and I told you, LeVar has told me that for 3 years.
Yes.
True.
LaMelo.
Yes.
And again, he's going to be the tallest one because he seems like he's still growing. He might reach 6'9".
Right.
He's 6'7"-ish now, maybe a little above.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how much C.J. could know just watching video clips, but again, I kind of liked it that he said it because it might take a little pressure off Lonzo because he's been the only Ball, right? He put LaVar on the map.
Right.
And he's played well enough to gain some respect around the league.
Well, I mean, LaVar would know. Skip, you remember Richard Williams. He said, you know, everybody said Venus.
I know, he did.
He said, but that baby girl
would
be way better.
He did.
Yep. So LaVar would know.
Yep.
After seeing these guys grow up, see the steps, well, as a 12-year-old, as a 15-year-old, as an 18-year-old, he would know what Lonzo looked like at that age, the growth, the development of LaMelo at that age. He would. I'm not going to doubt him. I'm not going to doubt CJ. CJ knows what a player looks like, what an NBA player looks like.
Yep.
And if he believes that LaMelo is going to be a better ball player than Lonzo, I'm not going to doubt that.
Yeah. So now Lonzo can start a new life in New Orleans without quite the focus, pressure, expectation that he had in Los Angeles.
That was too unrealistic. Yeah. I mean, you Magic Johnson, how you gonna live up to that? He didn't ask for it, but when you're the second pick in the draft and you get drafted by the guy that everybody says is universally regarded as the best point guard in NBA history. That's it.
Yep.
And you go to that franchise?
Yep.
Now, if Magic selects you, let's just say Magic is the GM and he's at Memphis, that's a different story. But Magic Johnson selects you for the Lakers, that's a whole different ballgame.
It's different.
That's different.
Lonzo's growing up before our eyes, and hopefully new setting, new scene, new team. It's going to be a good thing for him.
I still love his game. I still
you
say
do.
He's
going to
be a perennial all-star, and now we're going to find out.
They're going to be a defensive team.
LaVar can
and to your point, you're probably right. He won't have a new shot, but I would love to see it. It would be shocking if he could retrain muscle memory to shoot it over here.
Skip, we talk about the Clippers' defense. They defensive backcourt with him and Holiday.
It's really good.
They're going to be able to get out the people in the backcourt.
Couple more weeks. No mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then. Facts, sports, one of one.